We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey everyone, before we get started, I just want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast right here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and you're not just quite sure where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. On top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so make sure you get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Make sure you check out the description box in the episode to find out more. Once again, that is bwhustle.com/join.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by our friends, ourselves at RotoViz and Blue Wire Hustle. I am your host this evening, Nathan Powell, and I'm joined by my co-host. He's pretty cool on the streets, the kids say. Dan the man. Has anyone ever called you Dan the man, Sanyo?
I mean, my whole life, we're out in these streets. Dan the man is something I will never outlive, unfortunately.
Oh, are you not a fan of Dan the man?
I'm not sure if it's worse than Danny, but Dan the man is up there.
Oh, well, I would say Danny Boy is probably worse than all the aforementioned ones.
So really quick sidetrack. I know we're trying to do a relatively, not super short show, but quick show nonetheless. At work, I've got somebody, every time they come in or every time I see them, it's an old person, as you could imagine, sings the, "Oh, Danny boy," every single time. And I see the guy like 3 or 4 times a week. So it's super enjoyable. I really have a good time.
All right. So before we get into that quick show that you mentioned, we're going to be talking some Dynasty startup auction strategy. And we are getting off on a tangent here, but I think it's fun on the podcast, and it'll be more fun even in video form. So we have a Dynasty Streetcast Listener League, and we're nearing the end of the startup. And there are rookie picks in the startup, and we didn't realize that we didn't account for the possibility that not all of the picks, it's an 8-round rookie and then rookie FA draft. We didn't account for the possibility of not all picks being selected. So then we put it to a poll of what to do with the picks. Either A, in year one, decide, okay, the picks that don't get selected aren't used, or B, basically allocate the picks in snake order from the end of the startup. So if there's 2 rounds of picks left, you'll basically, those will be allocated 2 rounds left, essentially. So there was, we put it to a poll. It was tied. And how else would you break a tie than with a coin flip live on a podcast? So I'm starting my video now. And so, Dan, I'll let you, can you write down what heads and tails are on the on a piece of paper between the two options?
I certainly certainly can. All right, you, sir, can go ahead and flip.
Okay, this is an American dime, for those listening on the podcast, an American dime. Okay, it has a head, it has a tail, American dime.
Similar to me, actually, a head and a tail.
Okay, there we go. All right, and I'm going to flip, and if I catch it, I'll flip it back on the side. If not, we'll see how it goes.
Oh, no. We're counting on Nathan's catching ability.
Okay. No!
Has no one... All right. So,
We're going to do it one more time.
Let's has anyone it. Taught ready? You how to flip a coin? What is this?
Okay, ready? All right. The answer is heads. Allocate is the answer. Send this video off. I will send this video off to the Tradecast listeners, and I'm sure they're going to like hearing this a second time.
Just for reference, my first pick that I get allocated, I am going to let sit, expire, and then tell you I don't want it, and then you can put me on auto pick for the rest.
There we go. All right, let's get into some startup auction strategy, folks. Where are we at? Okay, so we're going to start off with our Dynasty startup auction strategy. And when you're putting together your startup draft plan, you're kind of just thinking nominations. That's the very first thing you think of. And obviously there's other parts that go into that. But let's start off with the basics. What are you doing first couple days to nominations? Are you nominating the big fish, the Davante Adams, the DK Metcalfs? Or are you throwing a little bit of chum, a little bit of like a Ryan Tannehill or a, Jonnu Smith? Like what's your nomination plan early on in the startup? And does it depend on what time of year it is?
I think it definitely depends on the time of year, but I also think it depends a little bit on the owners that you're with. If it's a group that you know their tendencies or players that they like, it makes it a little bit easier to kind of pick and choose. For the most part, just generally speaking, early on, I'm trying to get money off the board. So what I will do is more than likely take however many of those top guys that I just really am not a fan of, but I know market-wise they're going to be expensive, I'm trying to get them on the board early. I'm trying to get people to get into a bidding war, spend as much as...
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Possible. And in the meantime, if other people are nominating mid-tier, low-tier players, maybe trying to sneak somebody here or there, for a buck while everyone's paying attention to the big names or thinking, well, I can't spend $1 now or $5 now if I'm thinking about players later on. So it does. It definitely depends on time of year, because once things get more set in stone, the later it is, the more difficult it is to find value. If you're doing it now, I mean, you can find value all over the place. But yeah, relatively speaking, early on, I'm trying to get big names on the board that that's going to eat up some cash from other owners.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Yeah, for me, my early nomination strategy is often one of two ways. If we're, you know, approaching free agency, or if we're approaching possible, like, you know, some trade rumors, I like to get guys on the board that have news coming up or have news going around them. Because whether it's good news or bad news, if it's good news, the guy is going to end up going overpriced because we're in the heat of the moment of what's happening. Or if it's bad news, then you might be able to sneak him by with some, you know, with a cheap bid and say, oh, well, now they're panicking over this little bit of news. Now, that is a bit of a oversimplification, because not every single player has news coming out every, you know, every day throughout the offseason. But, you know, I mean, I would say that the players that have news right now is like Deshaun Watson is a popular guy that I would want to get on the board before a trade happens. You know, guys like Stafford and Goff and, you know, guys that were on the trade block. So I at this stage of the offseason, in mid-February, late February, early March, I'm looking at the guys who are on the trade block, like Watson, who still is, or other guys like that, and also pending free agents, because as you get closer to free agency, those guys will get their news coming to them.
Yeah, so to connect those dots for everyone, just to make it a little more simple, early is easier to force other owners to overpay and to get yourself some good deals. Waiting until, say, August to do an auction, it's going to be pretty flat line across the board as far as what guys are going for versus what they should be going for, what market would tell you. So if you are looking for an advantage, maybe recommend to your group to start a little earlier. Draft your veterans now and have a rookie draft or a rookie auction when the time comes, once the NFL draft happens. But generally speaking, I'm more of a fan of doing things earlier rather than later, because it is easier to find an advantage in there someplace.
Yeah, for sure. And just talking about some more strategy in terms of nominations, in Superflex, I do like to throw out those quarterbacks, especially those middle tier guys. I've talked about so often how I'm always targeting the higher end tier and the lower end tier. Those are the two tiers of quarterbacks I target in Superflex. Like, give me the absolute bottom of the barrel, where as soon as they get a starting job, they're going to gain value. Or, you know, the Kyler Murrays, the Josh Allens, those guys who pretty much their value is cemented in being, you know, top 5-6 quarterback over the next several years. And so if you put the guys who have more ambiguity in their value, the Matthew Staffords, the Matt Ryans, you know, even Ryan Tannehill, guys like that, those guys often get overpaid for in Superflex. And so if you can take some money away from someone's budget with that mid-tier quarterback, I think that's a solid move in Superflex.
Yeah, absolutely. And even guys, you know, in like the Baker Mayfield tier, kind of that late QB1, early QB2, some people are going to overpay for the age rather than the production. It It is a pretty easy and efficient way to get people to spend money. Quarterbacks are always going to be the top dollar players when you're talking about Superflex. So yeah, if you're in Superflex, definitely try to get some I would say middle slash underwhelming quarterbacks out on the board, force people to pay for them, and then maybe find yourself a good deal on a back end QB1 or have fewer battles to try to get yourself a Patrick Mahomes or a Kyler Murray or Deshaun Watson. The more money you can get off the board, obviously, it's going to make it easier to get some big names and might help your budget and be able to get those players and something else rather than having to put 20 or 25% into one player that you really want to get.
Yeah, for sure. And as far as more positional talk, I will say that this can vary year to year as, you know, we value running backs differently each year, wide receivers differently each year. You know, as we continue in this age of like running backs are still being valued higher than wide receivers for the most part, you know, if you are a zero RB guy, if you're a guy who's valuing those wide receivers and quarterbacks and Superflex way over the running backs, you know, just throw out all of them. If basically in your mind, you should think who early, unless you are planning on doing an early bid strategy, which, you know, we can talk about as a viable strategy. If you're not planning on doing that, just think who is someone I don't want and is going to eat money, because you just want to eat money and eat money and eat money.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of like what I mentioned earlier, is putting out the pricier guys that you're not really interested in, or if it goes against your strategy, you know, putting up a running back if you're planning on going zero RB, or if you're going to play the late QB game, just putting up all big quarterbacks right away. Wide receiver is kind of one of those things where there's so much depth now that, I mean, it's easy to attack it kind of from any angle. So if you're a robust RB player trying to get, you know, some of the big names of wide receiver can help, but honestly, it's kind of hard to plan around wide receiver if you're trying to fade them, I guess, because there's so many now.
Yeah, for sure. And like, if you'll just keep on throwing them out, you're like, oh, geez, Cooper Kupp is still here. Robert Woods is still here. Like, you know, all these guys. So yeah, I do think that if you're trying to fade wide receiver, it's going to be hard to just keep on throwing them out there. So this kind of goes similarly to, obviously, that we kind of just framed our big fish versus, you know, throwing out guys you don't want argument. And that does kind of correlate to spending early or spending late. So I guess I'll give an argument for spending early while talking about it. So I do think that if you're spending early, oftentimes you are going more of the stud dud variety of a team. But I think that there's nothing worse in an auction than overpaying for middle tier guys. And while there's definitely been cases of people who, you know, save their money and wait until late and end up getting a bunch of, you know, guys valued in that like 20 to 50 range, there's also that same exact scenario playing out where you end up with like no one greater than a top 50 pick. So there is definitely a fine line when you're playing the waiting game. And when you spend early, there is the, you know, somewhat guarantee of like, okay, you're getting two or three stud assets. You're building your team around these guys. You might not be able to fill out the middle of your roster like you would in a normal dynasty startup draft, or if you were, you know, being a middle spender or even a late spender.
Yeah, and it also can depend a little bit if you're doing proxy or non-proxy. I mean, you can put the shock value into a player by, if it's non-proxy, by just straight up putting the percentage you're trying to spend on that player, thinking, you know, maybe it's a 20% player. If you just go straight to like 18% of your budget for whatever player you're trying to get, a lot of times that big number scares a lot of people off and they're not going to budge on it because they're thinking, wow, I mean, he's willing to go wherever. And if they do outbid you, well, now they're spending 20% and that's a huge chunk of money off the board. So it can kind of work both ways. Obviously, it's a little bit different in proxy when you don't really know what you're bidding against until kind of mid or late draft, when you know where the money's allocated and what values are and all of that. So,
yeah, for sure. Do you think that aligns, that if you're spending early, you're going studs, duds? If you're going late, it's more of a depth piece? Or is there a way to wait but also do studs and duds, or is there a way to spend early but also get that depth?
I mean, it really depends on how your league is nominating. If everyone's nominating studs, yeah, I mean, you're kind of your hands kind of forced to either go super depth or studs and duds. If you're nominating an assortment, it's a lot easier to kind of find values and really build a drafted type team rather than a studs and duds. You can find balance there by kind of playing the field and not overreacting to a price on one player and making sure you're on top of everything. So I don't necessarily think your hand is forced unless the nominations are, I mean, if you're just going in line like how you would draft, you're kind of stuck. But I definitely think there's ways around pretty much anything as long as you're on top of it and paying attention to what's happening.
Now let's talk one opinion league-based thing, and it's the trading of startup dollars. As a commissioner who has commissioned many startup auction leagues, I personally don't like the allowing of trading of startup dollars. I think that people can often use trading of startup dollars as a crutch, and they'll say, and basically, if you aren't allowed to trade startup dollars, that puts your feet to the fire. Okay, do you actually want to spend on this player? And yes, you can trade for a player in other ways other than trading for startup dollars. But I think that when you allow trading of startup dollars, you can just say, oh, like, you know, Jim can trade Larry, you know, $78 because Watson, you know, Watson was only one for 76. Like, yes, there's clearly one, each side is, you know, getting what they want in that scenario. But I think that when you don't have that to rely on, you go out and get your guys more often, which that's what I want. I want people to spend their money. I want people to say, that's the guy I want, and not say, oh, like, I might trade for that guy with startup money later.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge proponent of it either direction. I think it's fine to have, I guess, to be completely honest, I don't really understand the need to have it aside from, oh, I was busy and I would have bid this much on Kyler Murray, so how about I just go trade for him and give somebody an extra five startup dollars or something, or going out and using your startup dollars to buy firsts or whatever it happens to be. I just think it's more fun to just have the auction. And then on the other side of it, when you're doing a draft, obviously there's tons of trading in startup drafts, and I think that's part of the fun. I just think it's kind of unnecessary in an auction.
Okay, it's interesting because I believe you got mad at me during the RotoViz Dynasty Tradecast startup when I said startup dollars were not tradable. So maybe your tune has changed over the last couple years.
No, I just do that because I like to be fake mad anytime you make a decision on something. in hopes we start an uprising.
All right. And then so we talked about trading of startup dollars. Now another league format thing is rookie money and how that's handled. I advocate for, you know, similarly, but not the same. In startups, I like rookie slots. But I think that in auctions, I think rookie picks are the way to go. You know, if you have three rounds of picks, which are in most startup auctions are rookie auctions as well. So each pick 101 through 312 has its own value. And that player is bid on just like Kyler Murray is, just like Josh Allen is. And really the only real alternative to this in the startup auction format is allocating rookie money. So you say, okay, there are, you know, $4,000 of rookie money each year, and then you divide that evenly among the 12 for the startup year, which is kind of similar to the rookie slot version of this. But I do think that that's kind of a cop-out with just saying, okay, everyone just starts off with the same amount of rookie money.
Yeah, I would rather have either the players or just the physical picks in. You could do just the reboot of having everyone have the same amount of money. I don't find that as fun. That to me is would be bidding on the series of picks. You get the 101, the 201, the 301, the 401. I would rather be bidding on the player or the each individual pick. And honestly, I don't think there's really much that needs to be argued on that. I feel like getting the player or the pick is, I don't even know what to say. Like, it just seems so obvious that that's what you would want to do in a startup auction is players or just the actual pick, that you're getting all of the value out of it rather than buying a package or giving everyone the same amount. And then it's just going to go down the line. Whoever wants to spend the most money on the best player and then the next best player, there isn't any strategy involved in that.
Yeah. And I will say, as far as the, you know, rookie players in the startup, I actually, if we're to pick between the two, I think I prefer rookies in the startup in auction than in draft, because I do advocate for, in all formats, the more drafts, the better. But I feel like if you're in a July startup auction or if you're in an August startup auction, there's no real need to separate the two, especially in auction, because it's basically an extension of the other draft. So I think that I still would prefer, you know, a second one, but if you're going to talk between the two, a rookie, a, you know, startup draft, startup auction, I would prefer to do, you know, the rookie draft, rookie auction in both, but definitely I think it's more necessary in the rookie draft, but for that sure. Might just be preference.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with that for sure.
All right. So it's been a little bit of a quick show here, but we're going to get into the box score scout shortly. Any other startup auction stuff that you think we should hit before we head out?
No, I think we hit on most of the important stuff. What I will say for anyone that maybe hasn't done an auction or is very limited in their experience with it, don't go in with a super set plan. Don't draw up a budget on you can only spend this much on this QB or this much on this player or this much on this position. You can have a rough outline, but you need to be able to be malleable. You need to work with what's being given. The prices aren't going to be, you know, expected. There, a lot of times there's players and owners that do things crazy. So just be ready for it. Sometimes it involves some zigging while people are zagging. And it, honestly, just as long as you're on your toes, you're paying attention to your auction, it's really easy to find good values and good players in different spots. You just have to be ready for it and try not to get stuck in like a FOMO position where you're like, oh my God, if I don't get Deshaun Watson right now, I won't have a top 10 quarterback ever because I just won't have the budget for it, or I won't be able to get this player, that player. Just roll with the punches. Take what the auction gives you. And if you need to be aggressive in certain spots, be aggressive. If you need to kind of do the bait and switch on some people here and there, have fun with that. And, you know, I'm old school in that when it's red, it's dead. So if you redline me, I'm going to find you. I'm going to kneecap you. All right.
All righty. Yeah. I will wrap up one thing. I do think that with the Dynasty Startup Auction, it is the, in comparison to the draft format, it's the one way for you to build your own team. Like your draft, yes, there's trades and drafts and things like that, but it's still, you're kind of taking what's given to you. Whereas in a Dynasty Startup Auction, you're taking what you want. There's nothing that's given to you. You if you don't do anything, you end up with zero players. So you're going to have to go out and get the guys that you want. It's not like you're going to, oh, this guy is worth this ADP, so I'm going to have to get this guy. So I think from, and we talk about this all the time, skill versus luck or and all those things. I do think that auction is definitely a much more skillful format.
For sure. Yeah, it definitely takes more skill. More time commitment for sure. You need to pay attention for the length and the entirety of whatever the auction is, however much time is on the clock. It can be work. It genuinely can, but that's kind of what makes it fun. Auctions probably are for more intense fantasy football players, but even the regular Joe can have a whole heck of a lot of fun playing an auction.
What's up, RotoViz listeners? It's Colin Kelly here, executive producer of RotoViz Radio and one of the co-hosts of the RotoViz Overtime podcast. I just wanted to drop by and say thank you, as always, for listening into another RotoViz Radio production. As a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a RotoViz NFL pass right now at rotoviz.com/podcast or by simply adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. That'll get you access to all of the content and tools on the RotoViz website, the best tools and content in the business. far the best listeners in the business. As always, we do appreciate you listening to each and every show. And if you do have 5, 10, 15 seconds to spare, please drop a rating for today's show on your favorite podcast app. It is much appreciated. With all that said, thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you have a great day. Now let's get back to the show.
Alrighty, that should wrap up our startup auction time, and let's get into our box score scout. I forgot what we called this. It was a really bad name the last time we did it, but box score scout. Oh, box score scout simulation. It's time for the box score scout simulation. So last time we did running back and wide receiver. This time I have a quarterback and Dan has a tight end. I will say this time I think that last time we included draft pick in our explanation. I think we should do first an explanation without the draft pick projection, and then we can add that that detail afterwards once we, because we're going to get it wrong. Let's face it. But yeah, so we'll try that first. So I'm going to give the information and then you will give your guess. So I have a height of 77 inches, a weight of 240 pounds. And sim scores of, oh, and for those that don't know, the RotoViz sim score app, basically it rates how similar a prospect is to a player on a scale of 1 to 100, 100 being the highest. So the similarity scores for this quarterback are 77, Ryan Mallett, 71, Mason Rudolph, 45, Nick Foles, and 43, Nate Sudfeld.
What was the size again?
6'5", 240.
6'5", 240. God, I don't even know who's... Is Trey Lance that big? Is it Trey Lance?
No.
Maybe Zach Wilson's that big? Is this like a... is this like an obscure...
It's not. I will give you the next thing. My projected draft position for this player, from just reading mock drafts and stuff, and I might be shooting low here, 64.
Oh God. I don't even know if I, is there any like hints or clues I can get?
SEC.
SEC. Is it Georgia quarterback coming out? Is nope. That who? Nathan, I'm at a loss here. I didn't know you were going to be going obscure.
He's not obscure at all. The man with comps to Ryan Mallett, 77, Mason Rudolph, 71, Nick Foles, 45, is one Kyle Trask.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't even thinking a little bit that direction. I think he's going before that, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I thought so too, but.
I think he might go pretty close to wherever Mac Jones goes, which is crazy, but
I mean, I don't even like Mac Jones, but if he goes the same way as Mac Jones, that's bad. All right.
It wasn't too far off. I mean, Trey Lance and Zach Wilson are both kind of in that ballpark, but yeah, Kyle Trask is a monster of a human being.
Yep. But also talk about 6'5", 240, fits the mold of Ryan Mallett, Mason Rudolph, Nick Foles, all these giant quarterbacks who don't know what to do with their bodies.
That's kind of the, that's kind of the Trask MO. Okay, my player for the box score scout, the sim score. Let's see here. So projected draft pick, I went probably low, but also, I think it's probably closer to accurate than not. And again, I have tight ends. So I'm with a draft pick of 100 just to set a nice even benchmark. Weight of 245. And a projected 40 time of 4.84. Some believe you can go faster, but 4.84. So he doesn't have anyone very close in his sim score. His closest is an 88. And then an 80.
No, 88 and 80 are high.
But you normally have like 95s and 96s for most prospects.
I mean, Kyle Trask didn't have any above 80, but okay.
Well, then, yeah. All right. Kyle Trask is a freak. So the one recognizable name that's nearby would be a sim score of 79, and that'd be Tyler Conklin. A sim score of 78. A sim score of 78 in Gavin Escobar. And then we start to get a slight amount better than those guys. With a sim score of 63, Zach Ertz, which I know will help you a lot because 63 is super, super easy to draw lines in between. So, Nathan, do you have any guesses as to this tight end that is a monstrous human, projected 4.8, 4.40, potentially could go in the high 4.7s?
As we know, I grind tight end tape between October to February nonstop. So I have extensive knowledge of all of the entire tight end class. But I do have a lower guy in my head that I think might fit the mold. And if there's any tape guys that are saying how wrong I am, feel free to let me know. But I am thinking I'm thinking in the SEC. Nope, I'm not thinking the SEC. Well, my SEC guess would have been Kenny Yeboah.
It's not Kenny Yeboah.
Okay.
Let's go ACC. And okay. Let's say the draft pick is closer to the 70 range.
Okay, well, in the ACC, there would only be one. And so I have a college football article during the season, and I am very much a box score scout for that article. And I think this is going to be a guy who showed up in my box score scouting a lot through the 2021 season or 2020 season. And because he was a high producing tight end, even though tight ends don't produce in college. So the answer is Hunter Long.
No.
No? Is it Brevin Jordan?
It is, in fact, Miami's own.
He's not that slow. There's Brevin no way he's that slow. Jordan. There's no way.
Yeah, like 4.79. He's a monster, dude. Yeah, well, that's what was my guess. He's going to get bigger. He's not going to get faster. So 2020 had 38 catches for 576 and 7 over 8 games. So, yeah, the dude produced. I think he's probably going to go a little higher than I originally projected. I also struggle with valuing tight ends that way. You could see maybe a little bit of like some Jonnu Smith in there, I guess. I don't know. I think Brevin was a big Debbie guy though, right? He was highly sought after for a while.
Yeah, for sure.
So, interesting couple players there. We get Trask, a couple of Florida guys. We get Trask, and then we get Miami's Brevin Jordan. I think this might end up being a staple on the show, getting the box score scouts. I think it's fun to try to draw some similarities without getting too many hints and finding some obscure ones. Once we get closer to rookie season, it'll be a little more fun because I'll actually know who half the people are. I know Kyle Trask is, but I'll know more about each player, and it'll be a little more difficult then.
Alrighty, so that should wrap up an electric edition of Dynasty Tradecast. We had a coin flip, we had Dynasty Startup Boxing Strategy, and we wrapped up with the Box Score Scouts. Thanks so much for listening, guys, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Kadoosh!
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.